The world wants to tell you that you need to find yourself. And my friends, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, God's word actually tells us the exact opposite, that we need to lose ourselves as we grow in Christ. And classic move of the enemy, he takes what God's word says and he twists it to be the exact opposite and then tries to sell you that. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about what does the world present as a false truth of needing to find yourself? And how does that compare with God's word? What are scriptures that can allow us to root ourselves in the fact that we don't need to carry the burden of finding ourselves? We can rather humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Hello, you guys, and welcome back to the Moved by Him podcast. You guys, today we are continuing the Self-Help Lies series, specifically talking about the lie of you need to find yourself, because nothing could be more opposite of what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that we actually need to lose ourselves in finding Christ. So we're going to be having a deep conversation about comparing what the world says versus what Scripture tells us in this area. Hope that you guys are really enjoying the Self-Help Lies series so far. We kicked things off with the episode called The Self-Help Industry is Lying to You. And then last week, we had an episode all about the lie of change your body, change your life. So I will be linking to those episodes in the show notes if you are interested in checking those out. I highly encourage you to. But ultimately, I want you to pause and reflect. If you have been tuning into those episodes, what has God really been revealing to you? Ultimately, the goal of these conversations, my friends, is to, number one, dive into Scripture, understand what God's word says about these topics, and then also to open ourselves up by praying to God and saying, Lord, show me what it is that I need to be doing differently. And I share that because I have been in so many of these places, you guys. I talked about this in that initial kickoff episode, that I truly was a self-help junkie in my early 20s. And I spent years in that place, even as I was a new Christian, because I don't think that I just didn't realize that a lot of what I was consuming was actually opposite to what God's word wanted to instruct me in. And especially as a new Christian, I wasn't getting into the word as much as I really should have been. And so it's very easy for the lies of the self-help world or the lies of certain influencers or content creators or people you look up to really start filling your mind and your heart when ultimately God's word should be doing that. So I really pray that this series is helping to reveal to you whatever it is that God needs to reveal to you, and that you are then taking action on that, because that is key, my friends. It's one thing to hear from God, and then it's another thing to be obedient in what he's instructing you to. So before we pray and dive into this episode, I want to mention, as I know I've mentioned a bit recently, have you checked out the YouTube channel? Because Moved by Him is on YouTube. So if you want to watch these in vodcast form, I put all the scriptures on the screen so that you don't even have to pull out your Bible. If it's more convenient for you to be able to see the scriptures written out while I'm reading through them, well, I encourage you to pull out your Bible anyway, but that is an extra perk there. And of course, we get to like feel like we're hanging out a little bit, you know, whether you're doing dishes, you're on a, well, it's hard to watch a video while you're walking. Maybe when you're on the treadmill at the gym, there we go. Don't do this outside. Don't cause any like, you know, traffic jams on the sidewalk watching a YouTube video while you're walking. But I love watching vodcasts, like especially when I'm in the kitchen, when I'm prepping food, when I'm cleaning. I love a little vodcast. So come check us out on YouTube. And maybe you noticed, if you're following me on Instagram at movedbyhim_, with a little trim of the hair, a little snip snip, you will notice if you follow along on Moved by Him Instagram, that I did in fact cut my hair a number of weeks ago, because I do actually pre-record these episodes like at least a few weeks ahead. So you'll be up on the know about the trimmed hair if you're over on Instagram. So stay in the know. Come join us over there. It's a fun time. So let's pray, you guys, and then let's jump into this episode. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of this time, Lord, for just the direction and the guidance, the discernment, the words, Lord, that you've had, that you just placed on my heart, the things that you've had me take notes on, the scriptures you've placed on my heart, the things you've revealed to me, the ways that you have changed and shifted my heart through so many of these challenges and things that I spent way too much time focusing on so many years ago. And Lord, thank you for the blessing of being able to share that story as a testimony with others, Lord. May it be encouraging. May this reveal whatever it needs to those that are tuning in, God. May we know that it's not about finding ourselves. It has nothing to do with us, but rather about you, God. May we know that we are worthy and that we are made perfectly in your image. But ultimately, this isn't about us. It's about you, Lord, and our lives being a glorification of you. So may that be what you call us to, and may we be obedient to that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, my friends, let's start by talking about what the world tells you, which is you need to find yourself. Y'all, what does that even mean? Find yourself? Like, there's all this different verbiage around it. You need to find your identity. You need to find your tribe. You need to find your passion. You need to find your dream career. You need to find your voice. There's all these, like, you need to find things that all fall under the umbrella of finding yourself or self-discovery. And what does that really even mean? You know, I think that there are a ton of different ways to take this concept of self-discovery. And so, of course, there's tons of books, there's documentaries, there's conferences, there's all the ways that you can spend your money on this. As we talked about in that first episode, the self-help industry is a multi-billion, yes, with a B, dollar industry. So, of course, they're going to find all different kinds of ways to encourage you that you need to find something. Maybe even things you never realized you thought you didn't realize you lost them in the first place. I wanted to do a little Google search because I always find this interesting. I am in an incognito window. So if you don't know what that is, on, you know, y'all, Google, social media, anything these days, they pixel you. They know what sort of stuff you search for. So for example, if I search anything around the topic of self-discovery or self-help, I end up with a bunch of Christian book recommendations, but I didn't want that. I wanted to see what shows up just to the, if Google has no information on me, so in an incognito window, what is Google going to tell me are the most famous self-discovery books? That is exactly what I put into the search bar. And here is what the sponsored list pulls up. This is interesting to me. I just want to read a few titles to you because I want you to ponder and noodle on what are some themes and topics that we see here. And where is Christ in there? That's a rhetorical question because you... You won't hear much about them. Okay, so let's just riff through a few of these. The Six Perfections, Buddhism and the Cultivation of Character. Polymath, The Aquarian Enlightenment, Becoming the Best Version of Yourself, Your Guide to Self-Discovery. The Big Book of Self-Analysis, Discover Your Untapped Potential. 365 Days with Self-Discipline, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Becoming Supernatural. Well, there's something. How Common People Are Doing the Uncommon. The Mountain is You. Transforming Self-Sabotage into Self-Mastery. The Deeper Journey. The Spirituality of Discovering Your True Self. Interesting. Happy Mind, Happy Life. I Am, all caps. The Power of Discovering Who You Really Are. That's interesting, because if we want to talk about things that run absolutely antithesis to the Bible, who calls himself the great I am? No one other but God. Okay, so this is referring to you as the I am. Interesting. Kriya Yoga for self-discovery, practices for deep states of meditation, finding meaning in the second half of life, the lies we believe, renew your mind and transform your life, signs, the secret language of the universe. What else we have here? Stargazing in solitude. The hidden messages in water. Okay. Sacred contracts, awakening your divine potential. Oh, here's one, you guys. You are the universe. Discovering your cosmic self and why it matters. Okay, and I'm going to give you one more. Meeting the shadow on the spiritual path. Okay, you've got enough of an idea now. The reason I wanted to read through some of those is because, as you can see, there is a heavy current, undercurrent through a lot of those of some level of spirituality, right? We kicked off this whole Move by Him podcast by talking about the role of that New Age is starting to play in the fitness and the wellness space. And ultimately, the self-help space is very closely coupled with the wellness space, hence why we're having this conversation. And the New Age and various spiritual practices, many of them which are rooted in other religions like Hinduism or Buddhism, but they don't want to tell you that outright, actually are seeping into a lot of this self-discovery space. As you heard, there was virtually nothing in there about God. Now, about the one true God anyway. And why would that be? Because at the end of the day, God's word calls us to something entirely opposite. God's word doesn't call us to self-discovery. Yes, there's scripture about spiritual gifts and about serving his kingdom and making disciples. Of course, there are things that God calls us to, but he doesn't put an emphasis on finding ourselves. The way that a lot of these other faith-based practices and spiritual practices ultimately do, this concept of enlightenment and awakening, all being centered on self. Interesting. Now, beyond books, I think that there's even a dangerous scope that we need to recognize, even in the space of things like personality quizzes, personality tests, whether it's the Enneagram, it's Myers-Briggs, it's Strength Finders, it's like, what kind of Disney princess are you on a BuzzFeed quiz? Because we can put way too much weight into those things and see them as a way or a form of finding or discovering ourselves. Now, if we take that a step further beyond some sort of quiz on BuzzFeed, then maybe the next level is like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs or the StrengthsFinder. Then the next level, we've got sort of things that 100% fall in the spirituality space, things like human design and astrological signs and reading horoscopes, those sorts of things that are so clearly and openly spiritually aligned that are intended to tell you who you are. And the reason I feel passionate in talking about this is because at the end of the day, whether we believe in God or not, the one true God, we are all made perfectly in the image of God. God loves all of us, whether we love him back or not. And the enemy doesn't want you to know that. The enemy would much rather that you think that your human design, which, by the way, if you actually dive into that, is bonkers wild, doesn't make any sense. But the enemy wants you thinking that you putting your birthday, the birth time, and the birth location into something on Google, and them telling you what type you are and how that's going to define your life and how you approach people, that is who you are. The more you run down those pathways, the more distraction that is from understanding who you are as being made in God's image. And so that's really why I want to have this conversation, is because there's so many different angles and directions to talk about self-discovery. Who are you? Find yourself. Ultimately, the opposite of needing to find something means that you've lost something. So it becomes indicative of, well, if I'm trying to find myself, then I must have lost myself in the first place. Maybe that was through the power of just suggestion and something that's trending, someone you know who's like, oh, you've got to take this quiz or you've got to find this out. Or maybe a company even says, hey, what are your strengths finders? Not all of this is dark and demonic, you guys. I'm not trying to say that every single personality quiz you've ever taken in all of time is dark and demonic. It is, though, if you start attaching it to your true own personal identity in a way that puts too much weight and idolatry on it. So let's say that you're in this place where you're like, gosh, I feel like I have lost something, or someone suggests you need to find something. That's interesting, because you want to know what the Bible tells us? The Bible actually tells us that we need to lose ourselves. That's what scripture tells us. Literally polar opposite of what the world says. The world says, hey, you need to find yourself. And scripture says, guess what? You actually need to lose yourself. Is that wild or what? So I want us to take some time to start diving into some scripture. I got a lot of them for you. Talk about how God sees our life and how God sees us and how we should steward our lives. Ultimately, focusing on becoming more of yourself means becoming more in your flesh, which is not a good thing. Romans 7:18 tells us this: for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. That's Paul speaking to the Roman church, and he's professing nothing. He says, uses the word nothing in the NKJV version. Nothing good dwells in my flesh. But ultimately, trying to find yourself is trying to step deeper into your flesh. God wouldn't want that, would he? The Bible also has a lot of contrast on how our flesh contrasts with the Holy Spirit indwelled within us. The Holy Spirit being part of the Holy Trinity, being God, and our flesh being in opposition to God, right? So Galatians 5:16 through 17 tells us, I say then, walk in spirit, Walk in the Spirit, capital S, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do things that you wish. So if we know that our flesh, the things we lust for, the things that our fleshly desires, things of this world that we desire, are in opposition to the Spirit God indwelled within us, then stepping more into our flesh would be a, if we truly are like, hey, I want to grow in my walk with God, that'd be a big giant no-no, something I really want to avoid, right? I think there's an element too here of when we are continually putting focus on ourselves, it's exhausting, you guys. When we're continually in this place where we're like, I need to find myself in all areas of life, in relationships, in career, finding our voice, finding our identity, right? There's all these things that we could get into. All of this finding ourself verbiage. Ultimately, it leads us down a path that is very egocentric. And I think at the end of the day, oftentimes when we are so self-absorbed, it actually leads us to the conclusion of unworthiness, which can manifest on two different ends of a spectrum. More inwardly turned, that oftentimes shows up as depression or depressive actions or depressive mannerisms, depressive habits, right? Where we're so inward, we're like, I'm so unworthy that I just feel down on myself constantly. And on the other side of the spectrum, it's this sort of like, I'm not worthy, but I'm going to try to overcompensate by acting prideful. I'm going to put on this front as though nothing's wrong. I've got it all figured out. Everything's good. But at the core, I actually don't feel worthy just as who I am. And so I feel like I have to put on a front of materialism or success or image because I'm trying to cover up the unworthiness I feel on the inside. And while those two things, pride versus depression, look very different, they're still very egocentrically driven. And a lot of that is, hey, I don't feel worthy. Because at the end of the day, you guys, we are not meant to carry what only God can carry. We are not meant to focus on ourselves as though we're demigods. We're not meant to find ourselves as though we have all-knowing knowledge, as though we have almighty strength, as though we have an all-knowing ability to see the future and to plan for the future. We don't have any of that. God does. And so when we constantly put ourselves in this position, we're like placing ourselves on a pedestal. And we're like, I've got to find myself. I've got to discover. I've got to be enlightened. I've got to be awakened to who I am. And it all is putting this weight on us that we don't know how to bear because we were not created to bear that level of significance. Only God was, right? So there's something to pause and consider is if I'm constantly focusing on myself, am I just like drained and exhausted by this? The really encouraging thing is this, Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, all of you who are weary, come to me. Lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Lay your burdens at my feet. Pray to me. Reach out to me. So if you're in that place where you're like, man, I'm exhausted of trying to self-seek and to find who I am or find who I'm supposed to be or discover something that you feel like you haven't discovered yet, maybe you just need to stop and you need to lay those burdens at the foot of the feet of the feet of Jesus at the base of the cross and say, Lord, this is yours. Like, I can't do this. I can't bear this burden. Can you bear it for me? And he says, gladly. And ultimately, when we start to step into those sorts of surrenders, that sort of humility of like, you know what? Gosh, it's not about me. It's not about me at all. It's actually about God. We start to align ourselves with what Scripture calls us to. So one of the most famous verses that you maybe, if you're a bit scripturally knowledgeable, thought I was going to bring up in this episode. So naturally, here we are talking about it is Luke 9:23-27. 24 is the famous verse. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We continue. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed, and when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, that quote from Jesus is recounted in both Matthew and John as well. And I find it interesting. So Matthew 10:39 reads, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." John 12:25 reads, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So in the Gospel of Luke, we hear him use the word save. He who desires to save his life will lose it. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see the word find. He who finds his life will lose it. And in the Gospel of John, we see he who loves his life will lose it. I share all three of those versions with you, or not versions, they're all NKJV. I share that recount of Jesus's words in all three of those Gospels because I want you to see what resonates with you. Maybe you find that you're in a place where you're like obsessed and overly consumed with your life. You're so in love with your life that it's at the expense of God. Maybe you're in a place where you feel like you're constantly trying to seek who you're supposed to be. You're trying to find your life, right? That would be referenced in Matthew. Or maybe you find that you're just like gripping onto your life with white clenched knuckles and you're trying to save your life. Either way, all of them says, stop doing what you're doing. All three recounts of what Jesus said say, stop doing what you're doing, right? And surrender that to me, says the Lord, right? Like, lose your life for my sake. It's the absolute opposite antithesis of what the world tells us, which is to find ourselves. It's the exact opposite. Fascinating, right? We've talked about this in actually some previous episodes, how oftentimes the enemy will take what the Lord says. And because he's uncreative, he basically takes the same concepts, but what he'll do is he'll twist them as the opposite of what they are. So he'll take truth and he'll make it look like falsehood, or he'll take falsehood and he'll make it look like truth, because he's not creative. The enemy's not creative. All he knows how to do, take what God created and just twist it the opposite way, which is exactly what he's doing with this. Another thing that I want to mention, I just read to you from Luke 9. I want to go a little bit further up in Luke 9, right in the beginning of this chapter, Luke 9:1-3. And I want to read you this short little piece because something really interesting pops out here. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. So this is when Jesus is sending out the disciples. He's saying, go heal people, go spread the gospel. But the key thing I want to mention here is that he tells them to bring literally nothing, to the point that he says, don't bring two tunics. Basically, you can only bring the clothing that's literally on your back that you're wearing. The reason that that's profound is because Jesus was proving to them, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. Put your full, wholehearted trust in me. Don't do anything that would make you think that you can rely on yourself. Even something as simple as bringing bread, because you're journeying and you think, well, I might be hungry in a few hours. What if I need some bread? He's like, nope, just trust in me. I'll provide bread for you. I'll provide food. I'll take care of all of the things you need. And the reason I share that is because it comes out of that same chapter where we just read in verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. There's something profound in understanding the way that Jesus approaches everything with his disciples, in recognizing the way that he not only tells us things like, hey, lose your life for me, and that's how you will actually find your life. That's how you will gain eternal life in heaven. He also shows them things practically, not just these like big existential words that might seem deep or hard to process. He also boils it down into practical steps. Like, hey, I want you to go out on a journey and don't bring anything with you. I'll take care of you. Like, put that level of trust in me to take care of you. And that is the ultimate level of humility, to say, I'm not going to rely on myself at all, but I'm going to rely on God. And I pray that somewhere in these scriptures, you're hearing something from God where he's like, hey, you're relying on yourself in this category of your life. Maybe it is your health and wellness. Maybe you feel like you're constantly relying on yourself to achieve something or to gain health or whatever it is. And maybe you just need to lay down those burdens. You need to just pick up the light and easy yoke of Jesus. So ultimately, living for Christ is not about glorifying ourselves, not about finding ourselves. It's actually about losing ourselves in order so that we can glorify him through our actions. So the key takeaway here, my friends, is this. We don't need to find ourselves. We need to lose ourselves. Cheers. It's a much easier ask, actually. Losing yourself, well, actually, maybe it's not. I shouldn't say that. Losing yourself can be just as challenging as finding yourself. It's much more humbling. Let's say that. But I want you to pause and reflect. Are you wasting time trying to find yourself? Are you in a place where you're constantly consuming content that is centered around this premise of finding yourself? But are you doing that at the expense of spending time in the Word? Do you feel like, wow, well, Lord, like I would be a better worker for your kingdom if I figured out who I was and found myself? Are you functioning in that mindset? Because if you are, I want to encourage you to pray about that and interrupt that pattern and to say, you know what? I actually need to seek God. And in doing that, I'll figure out who I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to act, what I'm supposed to do. God's word has all of that information that you need in one single book called the Bible. And also it comes through prayer and relationship with God. So release that pressure of expectation of having to find yourself, bring it to the feet of Jesus, bring it to him. You guys, that's ultimately what I have for you today. Next week, we are going to be talking about the self-help lie of this book will change your life. Because guess what? There's only one book that can. And funny enough, that book is not making any money for the self-help industry. Funny enough, it's a book called the Bible. So we're going to have a conversation on the word and just what does it look like to understand and recognize the power of the word and what the word can provide to you really in changing your life so that you can ultimately live your life to glorify Christ. So that is what I have for you, my friends. We will chat oh so soon, and I hope you have a super blessed week.